how clear is our vocation, Lord? Not vocation. That's what we're going to be talking about on this Tuesday, August the 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and being a Rumination Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, who cares? Pastor Mark Smith, how you doing, Pastor?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. Yourself?
Good. Another nice day here.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, I hadn't noticed.
And this is quite a hymn. In fact, we sang this hymn yesterday.
Yes, you were telling me you were at Concordia Seminary for a pastoral-type conference.
All St. Louis pastors' conference, right. We sang this very hymn.
And then they had some lectures.
They had some lectures.
Trinity, and what was the other item?
Timothy, the epistle to Timothy. Yeah.
Well, that's odd, since it's not part of the readings. Why would they do Timothy?
Well, it was an interesting passage.
Really?
Yes. It was good.
Did they give you free food?
Oh yeah.
They did?
Sure did.
I would have come.
Good lunch.
That.
You should have been there. It was good. I actually got to sit next to the Lutheran Hour speaker.
Oh, Wallace Schultz.
No.
So, how clear is our vocation, Lord? Interesting. This is the hymn for this coming Sunday.
That's right. The tune is a little difficult. It's not real catchy, but the words are good. The words are great.
Oh, really?
There's only one word in there that I have trouble with.
Well, we'll get to that. But would you be so kind as to read the first stanza?
Sure. How clear is our vocation, Lord, when once we heed your call to live according to your word and daily learn, refreshed, restored, that you are Lord of all and will not let us fall.
I really like that last phrase, and will not let us fall.
That's right.
Because is that law or gospel?
That's gospel.
Yes, because it's an unconditional
promise. Absolutely.
Yes, an unconditional promise. Now, I don't know if you heard the promo about this, but I said one of the reasons why they choose certain hymns is because they're supposed to fit with one of the readings.
Right.
And the one reading is the Old Testament, which we're going to talk about tomorrow, about you will live if you obey the commandments. Then you have the Philemon passage, and then you have the Holy Gospel from Luke 14 about hating your mother and father, wife,
right,
children.
Yeah, difficult passage.
Well, just as difficult as the Old Testament that you get to heaven by obeying the commandments.
Right.
Now, we're having a lot of fun. I can't believe.
Oh, I know. That's your favorite approach, right?
Oh, I love it.
It's shock value.
Well, it's not me shocking them.
Yes, it is.
The Bible contradicting Lutheran theology. Again and again and again. And until you understand law and gospel, you won't understand.
The Bible is a closed book, right?
So which of the readings, how clear is our vocation, Lord? Why don't you explain the word vocation?
A vocation is our calling. It's the calling that our Lord.
But not everybody is called as a pastor.
No, that's right. But if you're a mother, if you're a teacher, if you're a doctor, whatever your calling in life is,
yes,
you still serve our Lord.
Yes. Do people who are retired have callings?
Sure.
Yes. It is however God is using you.
That's right. As a grandparent or great-grandparent.
Excellent. This has a lot to say about those states that are okaying suicide.
Oh, I know.
Because it's saying, oh, once you get to that point, you can't be considered having a calling.
That's right. You're worthless.
Yes. Well, that's well said. Yeah, worthless.
That's what they're implying.
Yeah, in fact, what do the people ask for? A dignified death. And dignified, they mean that I'm not worth anything anymore. So why do I want to keep hanging around?
Send me away in dignity, right?
I know. I just heard a doctor talking about that he had many a patient, and they were told they would only have 4 to 6 months to live, and many of them lived 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You can't
tell. God only knows.
That's exactly right. So let's take a look. How clear is our vocation, Lord, when once we heed your call to live according to your word, and what does that mean? How in a vocation do you live according to the word of God? Let's take somebody who is a secretary making copies on a copy machine all day.
Well, for one thing, she's subject to her supervisor.
Yep.
And she follows through with her daily duties.
That's right. Yeah, I remember.
And also where there's an opportunity, she witnesses her faith.
That's good. That's good. A lot of times when I was working at Chrysler, that was assembly line. And if the
That explains the trouble we had with those cars.
Oh, yeah, I know those cars. I just wouldn't do it screwing in enough. If the foreman was around, the guys really seemed busy.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as he was gone.
Sure.
I even saw a couple of times one of the workers go and put something in the line that made it stop, which means everybody had to stop because the line was broke. Yeah. They have different ways of trying to do that. So our vocation.
I'm sure Chrysler loves you right now. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. But they would come around and fix it real fast. Yeah. I had the job of attaching axles when the truck was turned upside down. I had to bring the whole axle over, put it on the truck. And then I had this gun, and you had to get to like 80 pounds per pressure. And it was easy to get up to 60, but that last 20, you really had to hold. It was like a motorcycle, how you make it go in gas. And they were very good. Nobody was trusted. So everywhere down the line, there were
checks and balances, right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh, to make sure it was all.
If you were right.
Well, that's good.
I always thought, boy, if I didn't tighten them fully, and here's this truck delivering bread, and the axle falls off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever now and see this.
Well, they probably doubled security when you were there.
Oh, they sure did, yes, I tell you. All right. By the way, I have a Chrysler to sell you. Okay. That you, Lord of all, will not let us fall when we live according to your word. Now, we can't live according to his word, can we?
Now, wait a minute. We live according to his word and daily learn, refreshed, restored, that you are Lord of all and that you will not let us fall, even when we make mistakes.
So what does it mean to live according to his word? What, do you remember the first point that Luther made in the 95 Theses, that the life of the Christian is one of?
It's under the cross.
No, repentance.
Repentance, right. That's right.
To live according to the word means that we live a life of repentance. Whereas in every other religion, it's to live a life of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Christianity.
That's a big difference.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, because God, unlike my father, when I confessed, yeah, I was the one that threw the stone through the window. He wasn't happy with that. But God is very happy when he hears you confess your sin because you're giving all the credit to his son.
It's like the publican in the temple.
Yes, I, a poor, miserable sinner. And Pharisee said, thank God I'm not like that.
Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling.
Yes. So does that teach us, do you ever have a sermon on that we shouldn't be republicans?
No, publicans.
Oh, publican. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yes. Publican was, yes. He was a tax collector.
No, I actually said that in a sermon really years ago that two men went down to the temple to pray. I said one was a Pharisee, the other was a Republican.
And the Republican went home justified that day, says Jesus.
I tell you. And they laughed, you know. Boy, you ever make mistakes in sermons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you and I both write out our
Get
sermons.
The words turned around or something, right?
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you. You know, have you heard of Dragon? It's a software.
Oh, I think I have heard of that. Yes.
Yes.
I did hear somebody mention
it. What you do, you speak into the mic.
Yeah.
And it types it up.
No kidding.
I had an old one, and you had to read about 20 pages so it could get used to your book, but the new ones, you don't. And they were showing it on TV. I bought two of them, one for home, one for church. And I'm not kidding. Here's what she says. You know, my name is Susan. I'm going to the grocery store, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And it spelled it correctly.
Boy, man.
It's amazing.
That's amazing.
No. I have
I'm surprised you don't have it.
I do. I bought two of them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a shut-in, and, you know, he's alone in his room, doesn't have much to do, and I'm trying to get a hold for him, one of these computers. You know, it's got a little screen, but it's actually something you push buttons, and he has a TV in front of him, and guess what? Whatever you're watching on the computer by pushing a button, it suddenly appears on the TV. And then from his bed, he can use the computer to put the volume up or down or pause it or whatever. It is really amazing. And he's, was concerned, and his wife, I don't know if he'll know how to use it. But I say, as long as you have a finger, because these things now, you don't even have to have a typing board. You can just put your finger on the screen and go to where you want and open up what you want.
It's amazing.
He's a real history buff.
Oh, my kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. All right. I'll read stanza 2. But if forgetful, we should find your yoke is hard to bear. If worldly pressures fray the mind and love itself cannot unwind its tangled skein of care, our inward life repair.
It's
so
skein.
The word that
skein.
You have is the word fray, hey? You don't know
it's
what fray
tangled
means.
Tangled skein of care.
Oh, what does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you, it refers you to the bottom of the page where the note, the word skein, pronounced skein in stanza 2, reminds us that we depend on God to untangle our sin-filled lives. Seems like they could come up with a better word than skein, though. When have you ever heard that word used before?
Oh, yeah.
Skein?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the time, right.
Yeah, all the time. Like, what happens, yeah. Have you ever gone to the beach and you got to put lotion on your skein? Make sure it doesn't get a sunburn? Yeah.
Okay.
Bring me some lotion for my skein. I think that's what it is.
It's tangled skein of care. Reminds us we depend on God to untangle our sin-filled lives.
I think skein is
tangled skin.
Old word for skin. That we're in the skin of care.
I think you're bluffing.
No, I'm not. In the sense that who can untangle your old Adam? That's our skin of care.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's how I read that.
Whatever you say, yes.
No, it's just, you wonder, the fellow who wrote this died in the year 2000. I wonder what kind of household he grew up in where he was using the word skin.
He couldn't find another better word to rhyme, I guess.
Yes. Well, not even needing a rhyme there. Doesn't rhyme with anything.
You're right, it doesn't.
Yeah, because it's care that rhymes with repair.
A tangled skein of care.
Oh, I really believe that. That's what it's talking about, is that weren't...
Well, I think I understand what he's talking about, sure.
Yeah.
And love itself cannot unwind its tangled skein of care, our inward life repair. You know, we feel like, you know, we've got so many tangles in our lives. We've got so many
loose ends. If worldly pressures fray the mind. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had trouble sleeping at night because you got something on your mind?
Oh, boy. A lot. Yeah, sure. Yeah. It happens a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know, you got a number of things you got to get accomplished. And
Last night I had a couple of things on my mind. And one of the things is, you know, I rent out some office space. And we had a little flooding in there recently.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do about that? And I'm be talking with the gentleman today about that. But it ruined some things. So, and you figure, well, how can I, you know, deal with this?
Yes.
What I've noticed, because I'm full-time now at Trinity Orchard Farm.
That's right. I know.
And you're full-time. Well, are you still full-time?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, you are.
Sure.
Because I see you out at all the restaurants.
What are you talking about? My life is not my own.
Yeah,
I'm busy, boy.
And, yeah, I'm really glad. I used to actually sell from a store there on Saturday mornings, and it just took up a lot of time to prepare things and such, so I'm kind of glad I got out of that. But we sold last week a lawnmower for $450.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a top-of-the-line Honda. But
riding?
No, it was a push, but it had all the bells and whistles
on it. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And we don't need it anymore because I bought Louise an electric lawnmower, so there's no need for that one. All righty. Stanza three, please.
Okay. We marvel. Now, this is an interesting stanza. This is a good stanza. We marvel how your saints become in hindrances more sure, whose joyful virtues put to shame the casual way we wear your name, and by our faults obscure your power to cleanse and cure. What that saying is that, you know, we marvel at the saints, how no matter how many hindrances, no matter how many obstacles they had to work with, they put to shame our own lives, you know, with our feeble.
In a funeral service, remember that Bible verse, how are we to imitate the saints?
Emulate them, yes.
Yes, their faith.
Right, their faith, exactly, the faith, yes.
Yes, and that's really what this is talking about. This is an interesting point. You don't find this in any other religion except Christianity, that the saints become more sure through hindrances.
Right, that's right.
You would think that hindrances are negative things that God gives you because you're not good enough.
We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God.
Yes, and remember Paul's got that thing that suffering that produces till you get to patience.
Yes. What is it that makes a theologian? Remember that? One of the things I remember, I hope I can remember it now. What is it? Tentatio, meditatio, and oratio. That is prayer, struggle, and what's the other one? Those three things that make a theologian.
Yeah. Didn't you say?
Prayer.
Meditatio.
Meditation. Meditation,
yeah,
struggle, and prayer make a theologian.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I remember that from those early days of the seminary when they told that to us.
And particularly that tentatio.
Tentatio, meditatio, and oratio.
And what's the tentatio again?
Tentatio is struggle.
The struggle, yes. It's kind of, I'm always amazed how many inventions are discovered by accident.
Yes.
Like they'll be mixing two things and...
Yes.
Drops it on the floor,
right.
And all of a sudden it turns into something else, and boy, we can maybe use that. Or, well, who was it? An apple fell on his head.
Oh, Isaac Newton.
Yes. And why did that happen? Gravity. So that's also very true in the area of Christianity, that as we suffer, it draws us back to God. Because that's the purpose of the law. To leave us helpless.
Right.
So we need to look for a helper. Yeah.
In fact, I've been told, and I agree with this, the more mature a Christian becomes, the more he realizes how much he depends upon his Savior. That's a really mature Christian when he realizes,
right.
You know.
That's like another one I used to say, the more you read the Bible, the more you realize...
How much you don't know.
How much you don't know. Yes. Boy. Yes. When you teach confirmation, do you have the kids do sermon summaries?
No. And, that's one of those things along with, like, field trips that, you know, boy, it'd be nice to do that. But, I go through the catechism with them, and And I also do Bible stories with them. And it's one of those things I'd like to do if I had more time.
But they're the ones that do them, yes. not you. So what kind of time?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know, but I think that's a good practice, and I know some pastors do it. I just have never. I've never assigned that.
Yes, in fact, I'm handing that out.
We ought to do that to our parents.
Oh. I'm handing it out tonight to the public school and then the parochial school on Thursday, the sheet. My first item on there is, what was the question of the sermon?
What was the question?
Yes, remember I start every sermon with
shocking,
a question.
The shocking question, yes.
And then the second item is, what is the law of this sermon? And then what is the gospel? Mm-hmm. And I don't expect any of them to get it right at the beginning.
No, I know.
Because when they think of law, they're going to think of commandments. What's the commandment he was talking about? Whereas the word law...
It can also be, you know...
No, what's the accusation against the members of the congregation?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having a good fun one this Sunday.
You do have fun, don't you?
Oh, I do.
You have fun with sermons.
I do. But with this congregation, they are just such wonderful people. It's
good
going to be my
there.
First opportunity to baptize an infant.
Oh.
Pastor Gaunt had done one when I was there.
Uh-huh.
And, but the, this is funny, the baptismal font is near the one wall. And so I asked five people, how did he baptize? I got five different answers. Well, it's moved off onto the floor. Another one said, no, it's moved into the center. No, he stands there and carries the baby. And it was just kind of interesting. And all of them were correct because there were different ways in which it was done. Now, do you carry the baby when you baptize?
No, I don't.
No.
I'm just hesitant to do that. Oh. I just don't, you know, in the exchange, I want that child to be secure in its mother's or in the sponsor's
arms. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the way I am. I don't.
Pastor Hoffman always did that.
Oh, you know, and some of these pastors, they hoist the child up, see your new member, you know, kind of, I don't know. I just don't go for that.
Oh, that's all we need. Yeah, I said to one member, the reason I don't, what if I drop them?
Exactly.
And he looked at me and said, well, we have a rug up there.
Hey, here's one for you. How many sides does the traditional baptismal font have?
Eight.
Good for you.
Well, yes. You told me that before.
Did I tell you that before?
Oh, yeah.
What's
the
eight for? What? How come it has eight sides?
It starts with, both of them start with C.
You don't remember this, do you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, you don't. You're bluffing.
Okay.
It's the eight.
Circumcision.
No.
On the eighth day.
No.
And the resurrection on the eighth day.
No, that's not the reason. It goes back, from what I understand, what I've been told, it goes back to the eight people that were saved in the ark.
In Noah's day. Yes, yes.
Now, I have to admit, our baptismal font only has six sides.
No, because it was...
For the 6 days of creation.
Never have rest at your church. Okay. Go ahead and read the last stanza,
okay.
Please.
All right. In what you give us, Lord, to do, together or alone, in old routines or ventures new, may we not cease to look to you, the cross you hung upon, all you endeavored done. Good words.
Explain that last phrase, all you endeavored done. To
it is finished.
Well, what does endeavor mean?
Endeavor is what you attempted.
Okay. So all that's very good. All that you attempted is done.
Yeah, it is finished.
Yeah, that's well said. Yeah, that's good. Okay, preaching. This Sunday, where at? What's your address?
I've got a guest preacher this Sunday, but it's still at Prince of Peace Lutheran
That's
Church.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think you're full-time.
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection, 8646 New Sappington. We have a Saturday evening service at 5 p.m. and a Sunday morning service at 9, followed by Bible class at 10:30.
And who's the guest preacher?
We've got the Reverend Dwayne Moss from Pablo. People of the Book.
Oh, yes.
Pablo is that organization that reaches out to Muslims.
Yes,
Muslims.
Yes. In fact, I just talked to one of the individuals on there. They were hoping to come over to Trinity also.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Yeah. Do you ever have issues, et cetera, preach at your church?
We had Todd Wilkin speak at our 50th anniversary celebration.
Oh, well, that was
very good.
30 years ago?
No, about 2 or 3 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, I know. All right, tomorrow on Law and Gospel, we're going to be taking a look at that Old Testament reading where you get to heaven because you obey the commandments. I think that's kind of an important one to look at. And we'll be then having Wes Reinmetz on Thursday, open mic Friday. I'm Tom Baker. Until tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.